Transform.
This is 702.
This is 702.
For the curious.
It is 25 minutes past 8. Welcome back. You're listening to Gershwell Brooks here on 702. Great to be in your company, of course. And joining me on the line, first and foremost, I'm just going to quickly pop in and have a chat with Peter Bruce, who a while back, not all that long ago, actually on the 28th of Feb, literally less than a month ago, said in a piece, Mr. President, give Shamila Batoy her tough cookies. Now, Ramaphosa must move now on the appointment of the investigative director of the NPA. Good evening to you, Peter, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Gershwell. It's very nice to be with you.
Great, great, man. Peter, I mean, you made this call earlier, and after this, I'm going to chat to David Lewis in the next couple of seconds after chatting to you, because, of course, Corruption Watch has... you know, has their own perspective.
He'll have a long list of cases for the
exactly.
director to talk about,
But there was obviously, I'm sure you're excited at the announcement now of what President Cyril Ramaphosa is going to go ahead and do. And this is obviously this signing of the proclamation on NPA directorate. You made the call a while back in your piece.
I've been doing it from the end of last year, actually. Has he actually done it? I've been out of the news.
No, what I'm saying is it's about to happen. So what I'm just asking really is that what is it that you called for in your series of pieces on this issue?
You know, what's very important is about what's very important about the investigative director is that it is already allowed for in the NPA Act Chapter 7. It's all about the investigative director. And what's interesting about the investigative director is that we've never had one. So what we have is the national director, Sean the Sheep and Nasha Mila Batohi, and then four deputy directors. But the Chapter 7 deals with this thing called the investigative director, who is completely independent of the deputy directors. Then Ngobo Jibas and all of the people who've been in so much trouble. And the investigative director can do literally what they want. They can investigate who they want. They can call in the police to help them. They can call in the private sector lawyers and accountants to help them. There's no end to their powers. And they simply report directly to Shamila Batoy in this thing. And so it's a little bit like this chap in the U.S. who's been investigating Donald Trump.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Kind of a special counsel, huge powers, the ability to co-opt, as I say, the state into whatever part of the state he wants or she wants, whatever part of the private sector he or she wants, you just do what you're told. And I cannot, but, you know, well, we all wish, but I'm pretty sure. And we don't know who this person is going to be, obviously, but there are two or three names that come to mind, all of whom, if you were badly behaved under the Zuma regime, you're in deep, deep trouble. Because they will arrest you first, and you can get, you know, and ask you questions later. I think that there is going to be a lot of action from this office. And what the interesting thing is going to be...
Sure.
Is whether Cyril Ramaphosa is going to be able to take it in the sense that he can't interfere. He can't pick up a phone and say to this person, stop, don't arrest that person, and don't arrest that person. He's going to have to wash his hands and just let be what happens, happens.
Let's leave it at that, Peter. Thank you for giving us a nice summation of what it is that has been called for, what it is that we need in terms of chapter 7. Thank you so much. All the best to you. That was Peter Bruce, of course, giving us an outline of what it is that they've been calling for. Now, to help us expand on that is David Lewis, who is the executive director of Corruption Watch. Now, David, you heard what Peter Bruce had to say. He sounds very excited by this possibility. He's not sure where we are in the process. Of course, you will help us understand where we are in the process with this directorate within the NPA. Good evening to you, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for inviting us.
No problem. So what is the significance, A, of this directorate within the NPA, number one? And number two, where are we in the process? Because I see that the president is set to sign the proclamation on the NPA directorate.
Well, you know, I think as Pete explained, I mean, the critical distinction between the directorates, the special directorate, and the other activities of the NPA is that the normal activities of the NPA are the police, or the hawks, come to the NPA with a what they believe to be a prosecutable case, and the NPA then makes up its mind as to whether the evidence is strong enough to warrant a prosecution and the prospects for success are higher, are strong enough. In this instance, it's the investigators who, it's the prosecutorial authority who directs the investigation, which makes, as I understand it, the likelihood of a successful prosecution much stronger. Mm. And this is essentially the model that the Scorpions were based upon and were disbanded, you know, partly because of their, or largely because of their effectiveness. And my understanding has always been that their effectiveness had something to do with the nature of investigation-led prosecutions, especially in the sort of complex white-collar crimes that are usually what corruption is involved. So it is an exciting development. I mean, the announcement today makes it sound, and I'm not exactly sure how this works, that the terms of reference will be quite specific. I'm not sure if that's entirely possible, but I could certainly suggest a couple of priority investigations that I think they should go after, both because they're particularly egregious cases of corruption, but also because I think they do offer, probably offer strong prospects for success.
I mean, that's very a very important point that you're raising there, because unfortunately, you know, we have to come back to specific names and people in this instance. And I think that with the deputy directors currently fighting for their right to remain advocates, people like Advocate Jiba, people like Lawrence Mkhwebi, it's quite clear that what you need is that you need an independent group of people within the NPA itself to hold power to account, because it seems, and it's it's quite clear that the NPA itself has not been untarnished in you know, power sort of seducing it and quite frankly being corrupt or entering into a corrupt relationship with the NPA.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, Peter articulated that clearly, but I mean, the our view has always been that the NPA and the hawks were the first captured institutions. Mm. And that once they had been, that had been done, and I think it was largely done in order to ensure that Zuma was not prosecuted, you know, around about the time that he descended to the presidency. But it proved to be a very effective move, because once they'd captured the hawks and the NPA, it was open season for prosecution. I mean, essentially, they could not be punished by the most powerful, by the institutions with the most powerful punitive sanctions in their hands. So this is very important, and I think it is important for all those reasons to keep this independent of the normal functioning of the NPA. It's something that has to be managed quite carefully, because it does create resentments and jealousies and competition. And, you know, sometimes the Scorpions were accused of picking the sort of sexy, low-hanging fruit, whether that was true or not. But it has to be carefully managed. But, you know, undoubtedly under our circumstances, where it's become very clear to us, I mean, we engage with the public a lot across quite a wide range of the public, and people are beginning, or not beginning, but people view prosecutions of high-profile people as the litmus test of whether there is seriousness in tackling corruption. So, you know, to restore faith in government, then prosecutions are needed in order to do that. If you're to restore faith in the fact that government are actually tackling corruption.
I mean, David, going back to exactly that point that you raised there around, you know, the faith in the institution itself. I mean, that is needed, and we need to see high-profile heads rolling, quite frankly. And unfortunately, you know, especially in the in this job that I do, if I open up lines and I talk about the commissions of inquiry, in as much as I feel positive about the commissions of inquiry because A, they give us the truth, and B, they give us the basis of taking action against you know, all of these individuals. The sad fact of the matter is, the vast majority of my listeners are probably going to call me after this and tell me that, yeah, what's the point? We're hearing about all of these things, but we don't see anyone end up in jail. You know, and it's great to see that this directorate in this instance in particular will be looking at those high profile cases of corruption, looking specifically at state capture as well. I mean, surely that's you know, that is a move in the right direction in terms of saying that this is now an opportunity for us to take action. Is that the case, or is it too premature for us to be celebrating?
No, it's undoubtedly the case. I mean, you know, it's a representation, it's a manifestation of the seriousness with which I think the president, as well as the new NDPP, views the necessity for prosecutions. And, you know, the president has made it clear from the start that that's what he believes. And I think the decision to set up the investigative directorate, if memory serves me well, this was said to be one of Shamila Batoy's conditions for taking the job in the first place, that she should be empowered to set up this directorate. I speak under correction there, but I'm pretty certain that I remember that being said at the time. So this is undoubtedly a step in the right direction. And there are plenty of low-hanging fruit to choose from.
Very true. And it seems that that it would be essential because, of course, there's a lot of excitement behind the NDPP at the moment. You know,
I don't envy her.
Exactly.
Envy her, the expectations on her shoulders. I mean, you know, these prosecutions, I mean, even the lowest hanging fruit are complex. And, you know, one doesn't want to lose an early and high profile prosecution. So she has got an unenviable task, but she seems to be approaching it with a lot of energy. And I think, you know, now is the question of strategically selecting the ones that you want to go after. And as I say, there are plenty of candidates. I mean, I think the VBS saga must really stand out as one that they should go for at a very early stage. But there are a bunch of others related to ESCOM. A lot of investigatory work has already been done. You know, we are busy mounting an application under the Companies Act to have a whole bunch of ESCOM directors declared delinquent, and it was just our way of finding, you know, some provision in some law that we could punish these directors with. But I mean, now, you know, the big guns come to bear on the problem, because these people, this institution obviously has criminal sanctions. But there are a bunch of other good initiatives, like setting up the special tribunal in the SIU, which can, you know, freeze assets and institute civil claims against people who are been involved in corruption. There are a whole lot of positive law enforcement measures taking place. But, you know, as you said at the beginning, these have been deeply compromised institutions, and they need to be cleaned up, which is why setting up these new institutional arrangements, like the special tribunal in the SIU, like the special directorate in the NPA, is the way to go.
I mean, David, on that basis, the one thing that immediately stands out is that I think the biggest concern for a lot of rational, forward-thinking South Africans in terms of our constitutional democracy is, of course, the fact that we, you, me, and everyone else in that category recognize that it's important that we have independent bodies that protect the interests of the constitutional democracy. And unfortunately, a lot of institutions that should be independent have lost that independence, the NPA being the case in point. Now we have this directorate being established. I mean, are there measures in place to ensure its independence completely, or could we end up with another problem where instead of being independent, these people, you know, someone could be appointed that could actually slow down the whole process and actually worsen the situation far beyond what a couple of deputy directors had done in the past.
Yeah, look, I suppose it's possible, but I think it's unlikely. You know, if the sort of public assessment of Shamila Batoy is correct, then I would, and I have no reason to believe that it's not, then I imagine that she will be choosing an aggressive, thorough prosecutor from, you know, within the ranks of senior prosecutors at her disposal. I mean, remember, the deputy directors are not themselves necessarily particularly senior, seasoned prosecutors. And so I would imagine she would be choosing a suitably aggressive, suitably thorough, suitably competent senior prosecutor. And, you know, as Peter said, they can, you know, they have, you know, resources willing, the ability to co-opt contract private sector investigators, private sector lawyers. So I would think that there is a great potential for, there's more potential for a successful outcome than the outcome that you, the positive, possibly negative outcome that you've just raised.
Yeah, and I think it's just the broader concern that, you know, that we remain, that we see these institutions remain independent, that these institutions actually dispense the justice that they are supposed to after this. I mean, David, I know that you in Corruption Watch will be keeping a very close eye on further developments. As you said, at this stage, we have to still see it unfold. But I mean, what for you is the most positive outcome out of this, you know, in case you and I haven't really chatted or touched on it sufficiently enough thus far? What for you is the key opportunity? Is this a revival, in essence, of a body like the Scorpions, where we're seeing true independence coming back to institutions that should be dispensing justice?
Well, you know, the whole NPA is not being converted, or the Hawks are not being converted into a Scorpions-type body, but this is undoubtedly a sort of variant of that. I mean, this is effectively a Scorpions-type body within the existing NPA, and where, you know, the Hawks remain as they are. Now, look, I think, I think it's all very positive. You know, as I say, you know, there's a positive, you know, banquet of possible cases to choose from. I mean, some of the stuff that has emerged from Bosasa, for example, you know, not to mention the Gupta cases. And quite frankly, you know, I hope that this is a body that goes after some of those people on the lists of several of the political parties who really should not be on the lists of political parties. And teachers, you know, those in the political parties who've put on their lists people with severely black clouds hanging over them, they should be the ones prosecuted. But also something like, you know, VBS, where, you know, really the poor have been stolen from, and you know, the whole cast of characters there, corrupt business people, corrupt local politicians. I mean, these are the cases that the NPA should use, or the special directorate should use, in order to you know, demonstrate to the public that, you know, out of the smorgasbord of cases they could mount, they're going to select those in which ordinary people have been most, you know, powerfully impacted upon, in which politicians are directly involved in a corrupt relationship with moneyed interests, with business interests. So there's plenty of room for successful prosecution and for sending out very strong signals from this.
David, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for giving us a beautiful breakdown of what we anticipate and what we're hoping for coming out of this. All the best to you.
Good. Thank you very much.
Cheers. That was the executive director of Corruption Watch, Mr. David Lewis. 16 minutes to go before we get to 9 o'clock.